The Torah tells us, Isha Isha, Yad Fizindo Neder Dazir Lahazir Hashem. This is the Pasha of Nazirus. Namely, a person can take upon himself a Neder to become a Nazir. And then the Torah tells us what that entails. Number one, he can't drink wine, he can't be in time of the mace, he's obligated to let his hair grow, and other restrictions. Now, the Torah doesn't obligate a person to become a Nazir. The Torah tells us if you accept upon yourself a Neder of Nazirus, you should behave in a certain kind of way. The question, of course, is what is the attitude of the Torah towards Nazirus? Does the Torah consider that to be something of a positive nature? It's a good thing? Or essentially, the Torah views Nazirus as something which is negative. The Torah is not interested in the person behaving in an ascetic kind of way. However, if I decide to accept upon myself to be a Nazir, then obviously I have to follow a certain behavior pattern. Here's the question: is it positive or negative? So in Chazal, you find a dualism related to this matter. You find two different perspectives. On the one hand, you take a look at Pasuk Yud-Aleph, the Torah Vav, the Torah tells us that somehow a Nazir brings a carbon chatos, that's the chatos of the Nazir Tomei, and the Pasuk says over there in Pasuk Yud-Aleph, the Chibur Olam Yasher Chata Ala Nefesh. What does that mean? He needs some sort of kapara. There was a chet. The question is, what's the nature of the chet? So the Gemara says in Titus, not Yud-Aleph and Aleph, the chet is that he was Mitzar Asru Menayayi. By refraining from drinking wine, that's considered to be a chet. As Hashem created wine, and wine was one of the positive things that was created in the world. Of course, wine, as you know, is a dual-edged sword. On the one hand, it can be used, letov, we make kiddush on wine. The Gemara says, Einon Rushira El Yayin. Yayin is used for Be'yir HaBen, for Bris Mila, for kiddush, for Birchas Erisin, Birchas Nisuin, the Gemara Ksubis. So yayin has many positive aspects to it. On the other hand, yayin can also be something that brings a person down. We know about two different types of shechus, shechuso shel noach, shechuso shalot, that brought tragedy to the world. Each situation. So wine has a double-edged sword to it. If it's used properly, it can be a very positive instrument to enhance a person's avodas Hashem. There's a mitzvah to drink wine, a rias yayin, every day of Yom Tov, every day of Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, wine can lead to rachmanu litzlan, to horrendous consequences. A person can become inebriated, can become a drunkard, and thereby wreak havoc on the world. So there are two different elements that are involved in wine. So on the one hand, the Gemara says that the chet of a nazir is that siyar atzam v'nagayim, by refraining from drinking wine because he took upon himself an edah to be a nazir, that's considered to be a chet, because he did not utilize the good that Hashem created. Hashem created wine, and that is something which is tov. But in general, the Gemara says over there, in time is kalayeshi, the time is nikotolti. A person who decides to accept upon himself abstemious behavior, he's going to abstain from food, from drinking, he's going to be a yoshi b'taymis kalayon, he's going to sit and fast all day and all night, engage in that ascetic kind of behavior, that's considered to be something which is inappropriate. On the other hand, the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk Chumash here, Pasuk very well, Pasuk Hei, the Torah calls him Nazir Kodosh. It says, Kodosh Yiyeh, Gadol Peras Arosha. What does that sound like? That he obviously is another Kodosh. He's somebody who's achieved a sanctified kind of persona, personality. So we see there are two different aspects to Nazir. On the one hand, Chazal call him a Kote. On the other hand, the Torah calls him a Kadosh. So obviously, the answer to this question, of course, is clearly based on the individual and what exactly his or her needs may be. That is the issue with reference to the question of Nazir and Naziris. Rabban explains in the Teresh HaLatzor over here, in Pasuk Yudalit, the chatas that a Nazir brings, a Nazir Torah, when he finishes Yimei Yisrael, doesn't come because of the fact that he was a Nazir and he refrained from drinking wine. But rather, he stopped being a Nazir. Means the person who's already a high madrega, he's a Nazir, he's a Nazirite, why doesn't he continue? So the answer is because of the descent from his high, lofty perch, that descent of the Rabban requires a karma chatos when he comes down to the Madrega. Now you know the Haftarah of this week's Parsha, and also I assume you're aware of it, is from The Navi Shomtim Perek Gimel about Shimshon. Shimshon, as you know, the Pasuk says that he was told, and in fact, the Malach came to his mother and told him that you're going to have a child, but the child's going to be Nazir Elokim Yehanar Min Abotem. He's going to be a Nazir his whole life, from the time he's born. However, he's also going to be the Moshiach of Klal Yisrael from the Plishtim. He's going to save Klal Yisrael from the Plishtim, and he should guard the Nazirus very carefully. And we know what happened. We know what happened subsequently. The moment he was Nitshal and Delila, that she was his wife, went and she was Megaleh Sar Rosho. She actually shorn him of his hair. So then at that moment he lost all his koach and he fell to the Plishtim in the terrible battle. But in effect, that which was responsible for his koach was the fact that he was a Nazi. The fact that he was a Nazirite, that really was responsible for all the swashbuckling exploits that he was involved in. If you learn Tanakh, Shimshon has many, many such exploits. And according to one opinion in the Mishnah Nazir, it was a Novi, one of the Nevi'im, who was also a Shefer, who was also a Nazir. Who was that? Shmuel. Mishnah writes one opinion in the Mishnah Nazir that Shmuel was also a Nazir. It's true, he wasn't a Nazir based on Tzivi Hashem. Shimshon was a Nazir based on Tzivi Hashem. Shmuel was not a Novi based on Tzivi Hashem. His mother, Chana, actually takes a nether in her tefillah that if, in the beginning of Shmuel Al, Perek Al, you know that pasuk, the Radak, the Mitzvah, all the first right over there, that his mother actually indicated that if Hashem will grant her wishes and she'll be zoned to her son, that he will be, in effect, the Nazir Hashem. Why was she mekabel upon herself Nazirus on behalf of her son? So Chazal say that when did Chana daven, when did she take this nether? So Rashi quotes it in Shmuel Aleph. When Eli became a shofet, Eli HaKohen, when he became a shofet, so that's when she went ahead and took upon herself this obligation to make her son into a nozi. When was Eli appointed to be a shofet? After Shimshon fell in the hands of the Plishtim, or after he died, because Eli HaKohen was a shofet right after whom? Right after Shimshon, he became actually the shofet of Klal Yisrael. But since Shimshon, in effect, did not finish the battle against the Plishtim, so now Klal Yisrael is still Meshuba to the Plishtim, so Chana decided that her son should be the Mamshech, correct? The Mamshech of Shimon, and that's what she did in Nedir, her son should become a Nazir, and whatever Dusha of the Zerus was Chal on Shimshon should be Chal on her son, and that's exactly what happened. Shmuel continued to smite the Plishtim. You learn Tanakh, you certainly do, and you're quite aware of that, that Shmuel was the one who also took on this mandate to fight the Plishtim. In fact, he was the successor of his predecessor, namely of Shimshon, and he had Hatzlacha, Tony Mechai. If you remember, there's the Navi Amos. You probably are familiar with him. You have a Tanakh here? In the second chapter of Amos, are you into that Navi? Amos Peregrace Pasigidala. Amos. Which comes right after Hosea. So the Navi says over here, this is a very famous Haftarah very base. It's in Haftarah of Bereshis. You have the Chet of Yosef that's alluded to over here. The very base Pasigalah, the Navi says, Rabbim Midnechon the Nevi'im, that Hashem says to the Navi, and the Navi tells Klal Yisrael, that from among you I appointed the Nevi'im, whom you bachureh from the Nazir. Among you also the one Nazir. Now, apparently there are two matanas that Hashem gave us. One is the matana of the Navi. The fact that we had the Nevi'im Klal Yisrael, it's a big matana. What does the Navi do? A Navi knows the future, can predict the future. A Navi with the chokhmah that Hashem gave him is able to divine what is needed. He can tell Klal Yisrael how to behave. But the second matana is that Klal Yisrael have a Nazir, that we have a chance to be Anashim Kedoshim. Just like Nazir is a Kadosh, the Torah calls him Kadoshiyah, we can also become Kedoshim. Gemara has a famous story, twice in Shas. Gemara tells us, in Nedarim and Nazir, two different Masechtas. And the very famous Gemara, the Gemara tells us that once Shimon HaTzadik did not ever eat from an Osham Nazir Tameh. And the din is that a Nazir becomes Tameh Lameh. You know, a Nazir is not allowed to become Tameh to a dead body. That's what we just mentioned earlier. When Nazir becomes something to a dead man, he has to wait 7 days, then he has to have his hair shorn, S-H-O-R-N. removed, and then he has to bring the Nazir, Zant and Nazirus once again. Let's say he took upon himself to be a Nazir for a full year. And now 11 months pass, and he becomes Tamei Lameis in the 12th month. So the halacha is, he completely and totally negates and undermines the entire Nazirus, the Pasuk in Chumash. And he has to once again start the count from anew after he becomes Torah from his Tumah. So Shimon HaTzadik said that most Nazirah and Mitzvah Zerusi would happen to him, they would be quite sorry about the fact they accepted upon themselves Nazirus. Because look what happened. And look what was caused as a result of this. So they have to start all over again. So then he brings the Karban Usher. But the Usher that he brings is not, doesn't come to Leif Sholei. So Shimon HaTzadik would not eat from such an Usher. Because it's like Kulon Shinishlu Vazara. So he refused to eat from such a carbon. He felt it was not appropriate, not proper to go ahead and eat from such a carbon. And yet, once he met a Nazir, Menadoro, and he saw that this guy took upon himself the Nazir, so Shem Shamayim, so then he kissed him and he said, Kamocha Yiru Nazir Nazir Yisrael. Halavai, there should be many more people like you who take upon themselves. Now, Shimon HaTzadik happens to be among those who hold that a Nazir is called a Choteh, a sinner. I told you there are two opinions in Chazal. One says it's a kadosh, one says it's a chotei, and therefore, despite the fact he agrees that if you have an ideal situation, then there should be many more nazir nazirus for Yisrael. So apparently what do you see? That if a person does it for a good reason, accepts upon himself to be a nazir, let's say he wants to go ahead and somehow discipline himself, that he should not become meshubah to the sensual desires that exist in the world, to materialism and the like, that's a good thing. So basically what I'm saying is that Tzvei dinim, like everything. There are tzvei dinim in nazir. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. It depends on the reasons why you accept upon yourself to be a nazir. He can do it in order to discipline yourself, and you should not be meshuva to all the type of solom. That's a good thing. You do it for other reasons, because you want people to somehow look at you and say, wow, look at that wonderful, outstanding fellow, what he did. That is not such a good thing. And to use the lashon of a famous son of the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, who was a typical master of the Hashem. You know that same verse also translated into English in an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous, fantastic translation, according to my humble opinion. So there, he writes over there, the Mechaber, Rabbi Avraham and Rambam was like Porush Min Hoylam. How do you translate that? He sort of separated himself from the world. He says on Shabbos, you're supposed to have only Shabbos, but don't overdo it. Do it in a very conservative kind of way. So he writes something there, the guy on Shabbos. We hold Kufaket. What do we eat on Shabbos? You name it, we eat it. Curry. Luscious kugels. All types of kugels. Luxury kugel, potato kugels, carrot kugels, raspberry kugels. Cholent. Every imaginable cholent limineyeh. So Shabbos we go overboard.
You have to be
misanin. Why was that?
Even the vegetarian kind? Or does that count as chalent?
So, the answer, of course, is that the Rambam himself tells us that really a person is on a very high madrega, that such a person, shall we say, doesn't have to go and engage in all the delectable delights that I've just described. He can learn a black kimono and zvotim, and that'll be his own Shabbos. He doesn't have to go and, shall we say, overindulge in poppers at 1 o'clock in the morning and all kinds of other things and knackwurst or frankfurters, the American hamburgers, and where's the beef? That individual can go can make do with zvachim and menachas and Ramban al Torah, etc., etc. But someone who's not on such a madrega, let it all hang out. Cholent and herring and different types of dumplings and puddings and cakes and ice creams and what have you, and not to kind of mitzvah on the Shabbos. So you hear what I'm saying? That, and Rav Dessel Zatzal, the Mitam Elio, always used to say the following. He said that even on a day of the week, that a person who eats the Shein Tainug, because he just wants to have, shall we say, a delightful, delectable palate, and the like, he says, that he can bring a verse of the Gashmias, which is inappropriate. And Shabbos is Pumfaket. Shabbos Kodesh, when I eat the Shein Tainug, when I have that luscious Teri Kugel, so that luscious Teri Kugel is a key to the Mitzvah of Erev Shabbos, you can bring a verse of the Kedusha. But there's a distinction. between the two. But basically, a person has to recognize that any of these levels that we're talking about, namely the zeros, can either be is a dual-edged sword, has a positive side to it and a negative side to it. Depends on the person's madrega. If one is a bad madrega, who is not in need of becoming a nazir, so then you should not become a nazir. Then you call the chotzer to become a nazir. On the other hand, some people want to discipline themselves and find a way to do so in, shall we say, within parameters that the Torah actually has not only permitted, but perhaps even encouraged in some respects, then in those circumstances, one should become a nazir. I just want to finish by referring to, shall we say, a comment of Rav Dessler, again, in Mifta Leo, that I actually wrote down here for myself, that one of the greatest taivas that a person has is, of course, a taiva between a husband and a wife. And certainly Hashem wants it should be Abba, love between a husband and a wife. A person should, in effect, have hanok from his wife, and a woman should have hanok from her husband. But a person has to realize, I should not only be a makabel, not only should I be someone who receives hanok from my wife, I should also give her hanok as well. And therefore, there's no question that the ideal marriage is where, as I mentioned this morning, I don't know if you were here, that each person should recognize his obligation. I once heard a shmuz from a Pine Shul Rebbe Zatzal. I think I told you this, that many years ago, that the yeshiva, the new yeshiva in Deir had to borrow a huge sum of money from someone, and so get to the sugya that we're learning now, about Stam Halvah Shal Shem Yom. And so they had to borrow a massive sum of money, and so they borrowed it a week or two before Yom Kippur. And then the Malveh, the one who lent them the money, came every Yom Kippur to the Loveh, to the Rosh Shiva of the Mir, Rav Lezer Yudel Finkel, the Tzad of the Bracha, and said to him, no, pay back your chobos. So he looked at him in an astounding way. I just borrowed the money a week or two ago. And the Gemara says, Tam HaBosh Shal Shem Yom, what are you coming after me now? Plus all the other problems of Otiel Okinoshe that we discussed, etc., etc. So the fellow said, what do you mean? Erev Kippur should take care of the issues. The Gemara says, B'yom Chol Mitzvah, paying back a chol is a mitzvah. So Rav Lezer was taken aback. He said, that's for me to, shall we say, that's my obligation. That's not for you, the Malveh, to tell me what my obligations are. So Rav Chaim Shulam said, what the Rashi was saying, that everything is pun fakir. People are just worried about the other's obligation to them, as opposed to worrying about their own obligations to the other people. And he used it when he's talking about husband and wife. The husband says to his wife, hey, Nisha Kshera, let me show you some of the Baila. Who's the ideal woman? One who carries out all of her husband's wishes. And what does she say? The husband is obligated to honor his wife more than he honors himself. So each one's worried about the other one's obligations, as opposed to being worried about my obligations. That's what Abdesla Zatzal writes, that when a couple gets married, what do you have to tell the couple? First, take care of your obligations towards your wife. What do we tell her? Take care of your obligations to the husband. And if each one takes care of their own obligations, there's no question they will have nisuin meusharim. Their marriage will be a very happy marriage because each one is just a no saying as opposed to being a recovery. I was once involved in a prenuptial contract, 30 pages, drawn up by two lawyers. And part of it was the following. You, wife, will take the garbage out on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. I, husband, will take the garbage out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on and on and on. That will never lead to a good marriage. Marriage has to be a recognition on the part of each individual that I have to be a no-saying and not a makabel. That's all I have to do is think about. What can I do to help my wife? What can I do to show her chesed? What can I do to make the marriage into a better marriage? If people think that way, then trust me, they'll have marriages that are Gan Eden on this world. I'll invite you to be both then to that recognition and to know that what we do with ourselves, whether we accept upon ourselves to become Nazir or not, depends on where we're holding, what we need. We have to try our best to discipline ourselves to carry out the Chukei HaTorah and Mitzvoseha in the ideal way. And sometimes we need different, shall we say, portentum, as they call it in Hebrew, different mechanisms in order to achieve that. But not everyone has to become a Nazir. So sometimes it could be an act of chote, it could be someone who's doing something which is inappropriate, and sometimes it could be an act leading to the Lusha if we know exactly where we're at.